Let's bow for prayer, please. Father, I can't preach. I thank you so much that the Spirit of God can, and I commit myself to His control so that not only will the words of the Scripture come alive in the lives and the hearts of my family, but dear Lord, that my life will also be a testimony of the truth of the passage that we're going to look at tonight. I ask, please, that you would minister to our hearts and to our lives and challenge us again to the need for us to realize that the one tool that we need in our toolbox is the tool of prayer. Please don't let us forget that. And I'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. We're having faculty orientation at the college, and while I'm not faculty, they allow me to come. And Dr. Baker, Roger Baker, old friend. I don't mean that you're old. I mean I am, Brother Baker. Dr. Baker got up to speak this afternoon. When he announced his text, I was looking for a hole to crawl into. 2 or 3 weeks ago, I think it was, Pastor, that you asked me to take this service. And at that time, I went to the Lord and said, God, what do you want me to pray? What do you want me to preach about? And he said, Acts chapter 12. Dr. Baker got up and said, well, open your Bibles to Acts chapter 12, please. Oh, man. we're going to get a double barrel of it. Dr. Scoville and Dr. Britt Beal and so forth. But open your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 12. Dr. Baker said it's one of his favorite passages, and it's mine also, because it emphasizes the one thing that we need in our lives more than anything else, more than great preaching, more than great soul winning, more than tithing. We need prayer. That's the greatest resource that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ has. And I'd like you to consider with me tonight from this passage, just a short passage, about prayer and how it works. You have it, Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Here's a little background. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church in Jerusalem. This was just a short time after the church had been formed on the day of Pentecost, so it was fairly new. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, and verse 2, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. He beheaded him, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, He proceeded further to take Peter also. Those were the days of unleavened bread. In other words, we're on Passover time. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter, and that's Passover, to bring him forth to the people for the purpose of executing him. Look at verse 6. Get on to verse 6. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains. The keepers of the door kept the prison. You know, we look at that and we say, Peter, John just got his head taken off. Peter, you're in jail. You're going to have your head taken off, perhaps tomorrow. And you're sleeping? How could he do that? Well, first of all, he could do it because he knew the promise that God Christ, the risen Christ, had made to him in John chapter 21. He said, when thou art old. So he knew that he wasn't going to die as a young man. Maybe the next day, what are we going to do about this? I know. Let's get up an army. We'll go after them. No. That's too violent. Let's. got out to preach, they prayed. They spent 10 days in the upper room praying, and they didn't pray down the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost came down in the time that God had planned. But they prayed and prayed, and when the Spirit of God came upon them, they knew it was time to go out and tell others about Jesus and preach the gospel. And as a result, 3,000 people were saved. So, first of all, it was united. It was continual. It was united. And thirdly, it was direct. Notice, please, in this verse, Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God. Unto God. Not to the government. Not even to Herod. Not to the denominational headquarters. Not to the flesh. Not to some saint. I used to pray to him. When we have a problem, too often we try all kinds of other resources that just don't work, and we ignore the one resource that does work. It's guaranteed to work. It's from God. And then finally, number four, it was definite. Notice, please, prayer was made for him. Prayer was made for him. That is Peter. It was specific. It was direct. I heard a preacher say one time years ago, the missionaries ought to be the most blessed people on the face of this earth, because every church prayer meeting says, pray, bless the missionaries. And that's it. You need a lot more than that, don't you, Jeremy? You need a lot more than that. It's not just a matter of bless the missionaries. It's a matter of, Lord, here's Jeremy. He's down in Brazil, and he's in a place where there's lots of danger. Please take care of him. Put a wall of protection around him. Cover him with the blood. Here's Jed that's going down to Brazil. He's going to plant a church. God, give him the right kind of people. Help him to know what, exactly when and how and where to start. That's exactly it. In fact, that's what I was praying for, Pastor. That's what I was praying for while you guys were down there. Lord, Jeremy already knows where he's going. show Jed exactly where you want him. And he will. So definite, it has to be definite. It can't be, or we say, heal the sick. That's general, folks. That's not specific. That is not definite. And then when we pray, we need to pay attention to these four characteristics of prayer, believing prayer, and then we need to believe when God's going to answer. How many of you folks, don't raise your hands, but how many of you folks have prayers answered for you on a regular basis? Now, I know when I say that, everybody thinks, oh, something spectacular. I needed a raise and God gave me a raise. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about how many of you folks really have answers to prayer on a regular basis. If you take off from home and you're driving to Charlotte, I don't know why you'd want to do that, but if you're driving to Charlotte, you're on I-85 on the way over to Charlotte, and you get there safely, you ask God to give you safety on that trip, you get there safely, did God answer prayer? We never think of that. We never think of that. Believe. Look, please, at verses 12 through 16 of our scripture. And I love this. This is interesting. And when he had considered this thing, he came to the house of Mary, mother of John, John Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she didn't see him, she just knew his voice. She opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. I love this. And the people that were in there praying said, "Oh, you got to be kidding, Rhoda. Peter's in jail. He's going to be killed. We've been praying for him. He can't be standing there at the gate." Don't be too hard on those folks. We do the same thing. We need to believe when we pray. When you pray, Jesus said, believe. Let me summarize for you. I just want to, study here, and a little exhortation, I guess, might be. But let me summarize for you here. 5 points I want you to think about. Our resources are not human. God can do anything and answer your prayer. Number two, prayer can do all things. Jesus said, "All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." Number three, effective praying must be constant, united, direct, and definite. Number four, rest on God's promises. Just rest. It's difficult for us to do that. We want to be going. But God wants us to rest. Because God made a promise. If He made a promise, you can be sure He'll keep it. I'm writing a book on portraits of Christ in Genesis. God had made a promise to Abraham that he was going to have a seed. 25 years went by before that seed that was promised came. But before that, 13 years before that, Abraham took things into his own hands and fathered Ishmael. And we've been paying for it ever since. Rest on God's promises. Doesn't make any difference how long it takes. Rest on His promises. And then finally, when you pray, believe. How's your prayer life? How's my prayer life? Meet some of these qualifications that we see in this 12th chapter. I hope you study it more. I hope you'll spend more time and pray without ceasing. Father, I thank you so much for the Word of God. I thank you for the lessons it can teach us. And oh God, how I pray that the things that you want for us, that we'll claim them in prayer by faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for that, Doug. It's a good challenge.